name is Claudia, and I'm an addict. And at this time, I'd like to read this speaker statement. It goes like this. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, there's the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand the 12 traditions and invite speakers from the outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our act of addiction or war stories, because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. That's a very nice statement, very interesting. Again, I'm Claudia, I'm an addict. And I'm so grateful to be here, and you know, I feel elevated. I feel elevated to another level, you know, just to get the call to invite me to come to do a workshop here at Ocean City. I'm a service person. I love to do service. You'll always find me somewhere in convention information or at some area service meeting, or the treasure of a group. This is what keeps me coming back, and this is what has been keeping me clean. And I remember a few years ago, they asked me to do a workshop here in Ocean City, and I chickened out. And what happened was I met a young lady who I thought was this great speaker, and I felt that she could deliver the message a little better than I could. So I invited her to speak for me, and I went behind the convention information booth. And what I'm trying to do different today is I'm trying to step up to the plate and give it back what was so freely given to me. And it doesn't mean that I have to hide behind service all the time. Sometimes I'm going to have to get up here and speak to you, which I'm trying to do today. I didn't get these 14 years inexperienced. I did not use. So I got some recovery, and I have some experience, and I have some hope to share with you tonight. Narcotics Anonymous was introduced to me by way of detox. I never heard of NA. And I was told that it was the best kept secret. And where I come from, people don't talk about not using. You was a bama. I couldn't hang with you if you didn't talk about using. If you weren't trying to get high, I could not use you in my life. So this is all new to me. But what has sustained me in my recovery was the willingness that I displayed when I first felt the freedom of drugs. And this is a feeling, a God-given feeling, a gift that I tried to hold on to, and I've held on to these 14 years of my recovery. I have been through a lot of experience in Narcotics Anonymous, and nothing has made me want to use. I have experienced a lot of fear. And I think that greatest fear when they asked me to do that workshop, and see, I am a runner, and fear will tell you, false evidence appears real. Forget everything and run. And I'm not running today. I will attempt just for today, to do something different. I remember being taught, take it one day at a time. And that's what I did. And I went through the entire 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I am not one who believes that I need to go back through that cycle of steps again. Because what I have got out of the steps of Narcotics Anonymous are the principles. And these principles are what I use on a daily basis. And a lot of times I carry them in my tool bag and I sling them across my back when I know I'm getting ready to go through some. And a lot of times they're about to break my back and I drop them. Except the first step. And I know I got to deal with some honesty. The spiritual principle of the first step deals with honesty. And the honesty that I had to get in touch with, at least be true to me. And that's what has been helping me today. I got to be true to myself. I don't care what happens in the daily activities of my life. I need to look at me in all situations. I had to accept the fact that I'm an addict. And I'm capable of a lot of things. I'm capable of things that I didn't even know that I could do. First of all, I didn't know that I was this good person. I didn't know that I had all these assets. I always knew that I was a whole hopper. I wasn't going to be nothing. And I was going to die with my boots on. And I did not care. I have changed my life. I have changed my mind. I don't want to die like that. I really want to live. So I take these principles with me. And sometimes when I'm going through, I just don't use. I have to accept the fact that I'm an addict. And if I pick up something and if I use, I blow it. I lose everything. If you use, you lose. So, the spiritual principle of the second step was the hope thing, and I'm like, okay. The hope, what I experienced was in the rooms, you know, the people seeing y'all all dressed up, and I'm attracted to the lifestyle and everybody in they bling, and I really liked that. That kept me coming back. That made me want to be like you because I had lost everything. So I say, well, hey, if I stop using, maybe I can bling one more time. As a matter of fact, when I was getting ready to come here, I wanted to bling. I was going to wear some embellished jeans, embellished blouse, and embellished shoes. But my higher power had something different for me. He said, you put that on. Because I wound up coming out the hotel room with no makeup on, just like this. And see, I put God first. I learned that. I have to put God first in everything that I do. See, nothing's out of order when He is first. Nothing was out of order that I didn't put that outfit on. Nothing went out of order that I didn't have time to pray and meditate like I wanted to do for 3 hours. I had to do it in 20 minutes. Nothing wasn't out of order, and I don't feel bad because I have learned to pray every day. Nothing's out of order. So I get over here, and I'm ready to do this meeting, and I go into the menopause. I start sweating like I don't know. I said, God help me. And you know what? I don't feel bad about it. You know, I have a lot of acceptance today. Acceptance of me. And self-acceptance was one of the things that I just couldn't deal with. I just could not accept a lot of things about me. As a matter of fact, when I say that, that kind of means that I don't like me. And I'm not afraid to admit it. There's a lot of improvement that I need. And I'm not a saint. I'm not perfect. I want to be. What motivates me a lot of times is the kudos, you know, and the hugs and the love that I get from the people of Narcotics Anonymous. Because when they told me, they asked me to do the workshop, I said, oh, Lord, I got to walk on a straight and narrow because I know you got my back because I don't know what to say. You're going to have to help me. So I'm going to try to work these principles every day till I get to Ocean City. And what I did at work was I made amends the other day to a patient who I just couldn't stand because I knew I was coming here to speak. It don't matter how you get here. It's important that we stay. I went to that patient, and see, like they say, we develop a conscience. And I wanted my conscience clear. I want to try to get up here and give to you a clear message of recovery. I want to share from my heart. So I went to the patient, because see, I done went through the steps. I know the 9th step. I know that I need to make amends. I knew that I just couldn't leave him hanging. And I knew that it wasn't about me. And I knew that God was going to make the amends for me. It don't matter if I was preparing myself for Ocean City or not. I know that the 9th step is a God step. And it was time for me to step up to the plate because he had set the stage. Because from February until last week, they had taken the patient from me. All of a sudden, I get the patient. My recovery kicks in. It's time to make an amends. It's time. I went to the patient. And what I was taught, when I go and make an amends to anybody, it ain't about what you said or what you did. It's about what I said. It's about what I did. And I told that patient how I felt and how I will never do it again. And I was so apologetic about it. And my conscience is clear. I have children here, you know, and I can say about my children, I kind of grew up with them. And you know, and I have to take it one day at a time, because I grew up with my kids, and I want respect now. They ain't never called me mama. And just because I got clean don't mean they gonna call me mama. I have taken it one day at a time, 13 years, and two of them started calling me mama. I got a son, 38 years old, I got a daughter 35, and I got a daughter 33. And I pray for the day that they give me my respect and call me mama. But it took a lot of work to get here. And I had to get out the way. I mean, I had nothing to do with this process. All I had to do was try to live the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And living the program of Narcotics Anonymous entails me doing a lot of spiritual work. See, I can't just deal with the steps and be analytical about them. I was out there a long time in the war. It was hard for me. Because like I said, I thought I had to die like that. I got high over 30 years. I'm 55 years old. I was old, Dauphine. I would run out. It was time. I was glad for my deliverance. I'm a miracle. My first miracle was I stopped using. So I come in here and I try to use these spiritual principles. That's the best I can do. I start out with honesty. I work with hope. I try to practice faith. I've developed courage. courage. I've developed willingness. I try to practice humility. I'm dealing with brotherly love, and I'm witnessing justice, and I'm persevering. I'm persevering in my recovery. And through it all, I have to work with spirituality. And to get out of myself, I have a lot of service to do. These are the principles that I work, that I try to work to the best of my ability with the God of my understanding on a daily basis. And it don't come easy. I would like to say that I am holy, sanctified, holy, roly, hallelujah, baby. But the next sentence, I will cuss you out. It ain't easy. But I am trying. And what's really, really helping me is service. It's the service that I do. See, because I got, you know, because when I'm doing service, I'm not doing it for me anymore. See, somebody got to come behind me and do what I did. So if I'm doing it to the best of my ability, and if I'm doing it the right way, I'm passing it on. And I can sit back and watch the newcomer. Because it ain't, I done went through the 12 steps and I found out that it ain't about me no how. It's what I can do to help somebody freely, honestly, with some integrity, with some courage, give it back with no strings attached. And that's hard because I'm a great manipulator. You know, and I don't know why my sponsor told me that it's all right to manipulate a little bit in business. See, that's a character defect, so I can't manipulate at all. I just can't manipulate because I will carry you. I just have to let that go. See, I have these assets that I learned about myself, and I'm finding out that my assets are more important for me to work on than my character defects. I know how to do bad, but it's so hard to do good. It is just so hard to do good. And I'm honestly sharing that how hard it is to good because I'm trying to live the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And see, living the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I have to inventory myself every day. I'm the one who has developed this conscience, and I have to deal with the feelings, the shame, and the guilt every night when I'm at home and I think about who I cut off on the street, who I cussed out, who I used, how I cheated. I'm the one who has to sit home at night and deal with these things. You know, I'm by myself. And I don't have nobody to point the finger at but me. It is so important for us to do an inventory of ourselves. It's so important for us not to be so judgmental. And I judge. I might not say it, but I can look at you and I can judge you. As a matter of fact, I can look at you and I don't like you. And it's not fair. And it's not something that I'm gloating about. It's not admirable at all. You understand? What I'm trying to do is recover from little petty things like that. I don't want to be a petty person. I want to be a productive member of society. I want to be a lady and I want to be respected. And I demand respect today because I am trying to live the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And living this program of Narcotics Anonymous on a daily basis means that I got a lot of work ahead of me to do. I really enjoy the fact that I've made amends with these people, you know, and I thank Narcotics Anonymous for, you know, I got my family back. My kids, they like me. They're trying to call me mom, you know, and I really appreciate these things. But there's still a lot of things about myself I need to change. There's still a lot of work that I need to do. And what I'm here to share with you about living the program just for today means to me that every day should be a better day. If I take it one day at a time, I do not have to repeat the same insanity that I did yesterday, the day before, or last week. I need to learn from all the errors that I've made. I need to learn from all the people I have judged. I need to learn from all that. Because if I don't, I'm doomed to keep repeating it, and they call that insanity. And I'm here to recover. I'm not recovering if I'm still living the way that I used to. If I'm still trying to hustle, if I'm still trying to steal, if I'm still trying to get something for nothing, I am not in recovery. And I'm tired of living like that. I don't know about you, I am tired. I am sick and tired of being a bum in recovery. I am so tired. And I can't, and you know what? The acceptance I had today is that I can't change nobody. I'm just here to guide people, to help people, and to be of maximum service to people. And the only person that I can really help by doing those things actually is me. Because a person going to do what they want to do anyway, and that's the acceptance that I have, that I'm a powerless woman, and I have no control over nobody. Now, God has empowered me. And I thank him for that. I truly thank God for the power he's given me. And the power he's given me is in the principles of the step, if I choose to use them. And I do. I choose to use them when I can. I'm like I said, I'm not perfect. But I thank God for this opportunity to come up here and try to do this workshop for you just for today, living the program. Thank you. My name is Claudia, and I'm an addict.
Thank you for sharing, Claudia. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker from Ocean City, New Jersey, Joe.
Thank you. My name's Joe, and I'm an addict. I should read this?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this statement. An NA member chosen to speak at an NA meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, my name is Joe, and I'm an addict. I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Region for inviting me up here. I want to thank the committee. If you see one of the committee members in the hallway this weekend, please give them a hug. I understand from my own service work, this is a long, arduous process. They've been at it for a year, and they probably need a hug today. just for today, live in the program. Just for today, live in the program. When I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, I came here as a young man, and I heard things like, meeting makers make it. And I ran with that bullshit for years, right? Because all I did was make meetings. Right? Meeting makers make it. Fuck it, I'm going to make a lot of meetings. No change, no steps, no sponsor, no home group, no traditions, and I used every time. My story is one of prisons, jails, and institutions. But this time, something about just this time, my last 87, it talks about not dwelling excessively on war stories, but I need to give you a reference point from where I came and where I'm at today. My last day using, I'm homeless in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm walking around, I'm funky, I'm stinky, I haven't washed in 2 weeks. I'm just trying to get one more, and I came up with a great idea. I'm going to go in a casino and rob somebody. Guy got a sense of humor, too. Check it out. The person I picked to rob, the woman I picked to rob, was a cop. And it was a sting operation, and they were waiting for me. But my experience with Just for Today Living the Program is I always projected, like, when I would come into the rooms and I couldn't understand how I could stay clean for 5 years. I couldn't stay clean for 10 years. I always would look down the road. I never understood the concept of just for today living the program. I was always looking like, what about next week? How am I going to do this? You know, 10 years from now, 20 years, I got to do this my whole life? Man, I can't get back past the next hour. And I was in Newark, New Jersey, in a institution, again. And this gentleman had shared, he said, the world record for clean time is 24 hours. Right? And even though that's not in our literature, I understood the concept of just for today. It opened the door, and my mind became open to living in the moment and how I don't need to project. I just need to stay in the moment. And I never forget what it's like my last day using, you know, because if you haven't had it, if you can't remember your last day using, you just might not have had it yet. That's what keeps me here. Matter of fact, page 13 of It Works Hand Wide says, we need to always remember where we come from. So those times in my life are very vivid. It's not a place I want to return to. I don't have a desire to use. I'm 100% Narcotics Anonymous. They're not taking a risk by asking me to share. I'm here. I don't want to use. I have no desire to use. It's not appealing. And if you're here and you're using, please keep coming. You know, you were talking about it. Just stay. It's so much easier in my life if I just stay. In the chapter 9, just for today, living the program, there's God all over that chapter. It's about a higher power. I want to read a couple things from that, but I'm so grateful for coming down here. I rolled down alone. Usually, you know, once in a while I'll ask somebody to come with me, and just for some reason nobody would come with me today. And, you know, I'm on the I got a call. This is what kind of calls I get. I got a call from my sponsor. He's like, where you at? You know, what's up? Because he was here out of concern for me, out of love for me. Like, what are you doing? You know. Got a 6 o'clock meeting to do. Where you at? We all been here since last night. What's going on? And so, you know, I said I'm on the ferry, and I'm getting on the ferry, and I'm on my way. He said, who you coming with? And I said, I'm just traveling alone, and I needed, because I'm going through some stuff since last week, but I needed a little bit of time out for just me and God to come down here to Ocean City. From Ocean City, New Jersey to Ocean City, Maryland, just to have a moment of silence and a moment of prayer and meditation to spend some time with the God of my understanding. It's important. I no longer have a lot of static going on in my head. I'm not on a different frequency. I enjoy peace of mind. My mind's not racing. My life is full, but I enjoy going home and not having nothing on. You know, just for today, living the program, the ability to find peace in my life when there's a lot of stuff going on, is a blessing that I can't blow past that money. You know, that in itself, like, I got serenity and peace, even though I got some stuff going on. And so I got here. I did what we need to do. I got a sponsor. He said, we're going to work the steps. And, you know, if you're new and you don't have a sponsor, we suggest that you get a sponsor. They suggested to me, when I came in, to work the steps. You know, and that's what I did. You know, even though they were asking me, like, get a home group. I got a home group. I got a sponsor. Got a sponsor. Started working the steps. Then I started getting questions like, well, why are you on that step? You just told me to get a sponsor and work the steps. So that's what I was doing. So, you know, I just continued to move forward, and I continued to pray. And the message is meaningless in the 12th step unless we live it, right? But I'm here to talk about some things that went on from what it was like in my life, my last day using, what happened, and then what it's like today. And live in the program and how I can reach out to addicts and come and share with you addicts. And how I can use sponsorship in my life and I can pray and do these things that we do to help us stay clean. And so we're moving on the 1st of April. Now, my wife, who is not an addict, who had divorced me in 1999, saw something in me when I had about almost a year clean, and we got back together. And it's been good. And relationships in the base of Texas can be a terribly painful area, right? We've been together on and off 18, 19 years. And, you know, a lot of stuff has happened in my life. I've totally devastated this woman's life with my using. Case in point, I went to Ottawa last weekend. They asked me to come up to do the banquet last weekend, right? I get to Ottawa. I couldn't get into the country because of my criminal history. They're talking about, we should put the handcuffs on you. And I'm talking about, hold up, time out. It's been a minute since I've been cuffed. I was like, hold up, man, time out. They're talking about deporting me and holding me for weeks. I was like, whoa. So I didn't do the banquet. And I was cool with that. I really was. God had another purpose for me being there. He had I did the 12 o'clock spot. It was service and recovery. And so there's a reason for everything. When you think a door is shut, God will open another door. You know, and the right people were in that meeting, and I was there at the right time. And so before that, we're moving on. We're supposed to meet with this guy on last Wednesday, and he couldn't get down from Philly, so he comes Thursday. Now, my wife doesn't have a program. She's not an addict. Her faith isn't, like, built up. And for you addicts, my faith is someday strong. Through you addicts and my sponsor and the God of my understanding. Because the 12th step says we get our recovery from the God of our understanding. If you don't know, now you know. Our ongoing recovery is, just for today, living the program, chapter 9 says, our ongoing recovery is dependent upon our relationship with the God of our understanding. So I need to depend on the God of my understanding. I continue to have faith, and I told her months ago, Deb, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Trust me, we're going to be all right. God didn't bring us this far to leave us homeless. I've been blessed to have my own business. We're not broke. It's okay to have nice things. It's just so that the nice things don't get me. It's okay to shine. You were talking about that. It's okay to have things in our life. But I can't forget where I come from and where I could go. So, Friday morning, I wake up and she comes in the house. She didn't stay at our old place. She came in to this apartment we were renting. And because I tell you what, God laid something on my heart. I was tired of paying somebody else's mortgage for years. you know, I say, you know, God, if it's in your will and, you know, and give me the power to carry that out, you know, help us get a home. Even though I have a credit score of zero, you know, right? Because what will happen in our lives, we'll find it, the things that are impossible, God of our understanding will make possible, right? When we think we can't, right? Because of you addicts loving me back enough so I can love myself and talk about the things that are going on in my life, like, I believe in my heart, sky's the limit in here. When the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. Like, I buy into that. Like, I came in homeless, and now I'm trying to buy a house with no credit. So I find a guy that's willing to do a lease purchase. So I'm in the process of maybe trying to get a house, right? So Friday morning, my wife comes in and she says, why didn't you load the truck? Without even looking in the truck. Right? I was just waking up. I was disoriented. I was like, what are you talking about? The truck is half full. I was up all night just loading the stuff by myself. And she blacks out. She throws her keys as hard as she can, 4 feet from me. And they whiz by my head. Right? So I tell her, listen, we're done. We're done. It's unacceptable. Cannot stand for that. Because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And it's not that I don't love her. It's not that we haven't talked in the last week and I'm open and I'm willing to get some outside help. But at that point in time, I told her we're done. Right? Now, Friday night, I get another good idea. Because, like, I don't ever claim to be perfect. I don't claim to be something I'm not. I'm just going to share who I am. Friday night, I'm going to go get something to eat. Right? I did a big job. I got a pretty good amount of money in my pocket. I'm hungry. It's late, 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to get something to eat. I wind up in Atlantic City. Right? Now I'm driving down Pacific Avenue, right? Now, right? I'm thinking now, I told my girl we're done. I'm single, right? So I see this woman walking down the street. She's not bad. She hadn't been out there long, right? In my mind, disease is having a field day now, right? You got money. Ain't nobody going to know. So I go around the block a couple times, go past, you know, and I take it to the level that I actually pull over and she gets in and we start talking. And I never, like when I got here, I got myself a dictionary because I didn't understand vigilance. How vigilance means keenly watching for dangerous situations, right? I kind of always thought vigilance meant persistence, like fortitude, striving, and hard work. I didn't understand the words, all of the words. I thought I knew some stuff, but I really didn't. You know, I'm not the addict that shares that I don't know nothing, because if I didn't know nothing, how am I going to stay clean, right? I'm not that person. So she gets in, and, you know, like I was sharing, there's always a door open. And I tell her, listen, when I win some money at the casino, I'll come back and pick you up. And so I leave. Now, I go from there to the casino. I don't even gamble. I work real hard for my money. I own a construction business. I'm a hard worker. I know I am. I'm on really, really, really nice jobs, high-end stuff, beautiful homes, right on the beach in the bay. I work hard for my money. I don't visit them kind of spots. And if you do, I'm cool with that. I just don't do that. So I go into the casino, and I'm looking around, the lights and the bells are going off, and I'm like, what am I doing in here, right? I'm talking about progression, right? Where, like, that wasn't good enough, so let me try something else. So I get out of there. Another good idea. I'm not done yet. across the street from one of the spots is a place that they dance at. Nude. Right? And I'm not sharing this to for effect. This is actually what happened. I don't usually end up in spots like that. Like you were talking about, doing stuff that I normally don't do. Like I don't particularly go to them kind of places. I don't hang around people that go there. But I went there. And, I'm in line. Then I went outside. I'm smoking. I pretended like I got a phone call. And then I go back in line. And the guy's like, can we check your jacket? Now, I'm thinking he wants to check me for a gun. So I was like, yeah, sure, you can check my jacket. No problem. He goes, no, we want to check your jacket. Take your jacket and your phone. No, sir. Not me. So I leave there. Right? And what I want to share with you is that when we're connected, when we have a relationship with the God of our understanding, where we develop a conscience, where we are in tune, where we're in touch, when we have people in our lives that stand with us, like in the chapter just for today, we have people that just stand with us, that have true concern for our lives, that love us unconditionally, not so much judge us for, I shared that stuff with my sponsor and the men in my life, like, you know, I talk about who I am, I need to, like, I'm not above nobody, like, and I need to watch who I judge, because my experience is that I'll end up in that position, you know, eventually, like somebody shared with me, we all get our turn, and, you know, the part about getting through something is that I'm getting through it. Like I'm halfway through. I'm walking through it with the help of you addicts, with the help of a God of my understanding that just loves me even in my disobedience. Even when at the end of that night, I just went home. Like it wasn't planned when I went out, but I need to be careful of what's going on around me. I need to be careful about who I get in my life and associate with. And I did that shit on my own. I am my own worst enemy. I don't need none of you all to co-sign my bullshit. I'll do it myself. Because I'll contract the disease with my own thinking and my own voice. The disease of addiction talks to me in my own voice. And says, Joe, that's an absolutely wonderful idea. Go for that. So, you know, God is so gracious and merciful in my life that he spared my life for a reason. And you talked about the precious gift of recovery. And the ability to know that I'm human. And I'm going to fall short. And I don't condone none of that stuff. If I continue to put myself in them situations, 10-step talks about I might back myself into a corner where I can't come out of clean. I am not that naive and that arrogant to think that if I continued to do those things, that people, places, and things, you know, I'm not that arrogant to think that I couldn't find myself in that situation. I know it says in recovery and relapse that relapse is never an accident. So I'm not just walking down the street and shit flies out of the sky and a needle hits me in the arm. That's not an accident. You know, I'm not, I need to continue. Any time I've ever used was I set myself up. And I'm thankful for the people in my life that know me and care about me enough, and I can talk to them on a personal basis, and they've allowed me enough to be able to come up here and just talk about me and what I do and how I get through it. So the solution is, right, because we talk about the problem, we need to share about the solution, right? The solution is I got on the phone with my sponsor. I got on the phone with the men that I sponsor. I got into prayer. I got into continuing to make meetings on a regular basis. I don't make meetings like I did when I first got here, but I still make a lot of meetings on a regular basis. Even though my life is full, I got a lot going on. But, you know, it's about being God-centered and not being so much self-centered, but thinking of self less. You know, the message is meaningless unless we live it, right? So we need to enhance this circle, make this circle bigger, share with the newcomer, share with the old-timer. You know, it's about unconditional love. Just for today, living the program, helping each other, just get one more day clean. You never know what people are going through in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. You don't know if they're contemplating suicide or homicide. You know, a friend of mine had called me one day and was talking about I was looking for rope in the basement so I could hang myself clean. I really couldn't grasp that. I was like, for real? Like, man, you know, I've been in them situations while I was using, like, please, God, just kill me. I can't take it no more. In total desperation, in isolation. But I'm talking about clean. And living the program just for today is helping each other, helping that still suffering addict. You know, having a God in my life that it's okay to be a vision of hope to somebody. It's okay to shine. It really is, because people shine for me. I needed hope when I got here. I didn't understand people coming in with cell phones and cars and stuff. I needed to be stripped down totally. I couldn't identify with that. Like, I didn't walk away from the table. I didn't flush nothing. I needed to be stripped. I couldn't, you know, I never walked away from nothing. I never flushed shit. That's not my story. You know, I was so thin and pale and yellow and jaundiced. Like, I'm 165 now. I'm not the biggest person, but I was like 130. If I turned sideways and stuck on my tongue, I would have looked like a zipper. I mean, I don't forget that kind of stuff. I really don't. Because God has been so gracious and merciful in my life that He spared my life for a reason. And any clean addict is a miracle. That's what this chapter talks about. That we're all miracles. And if you're using, we ask you and we love you, we ask you to keep coming back. Don't leave till the miracle happens for you. Because, you know, we don't get recovered, but we recover a day at a time. And God's done something in my life that I'm so enthused and grateful that I need to be enthused about this thing. You know, our ongoing enthusiasm will aid our recovery. You know, I need to transfer the energy, not so much, you know, you'll hear stuff like, you got to chase this recovery like you got to chase the bag. Like, I need to transfer the energy that it took for me to use and transfer that energy into recovery. And do whatever it takes. Even the things that I don't like doing. Even them days when it's snowing and raining out. And I ain't thinking about using. I ain't really worrying about nothing else. But I need to get my ass up off the couch and go to a meeting. You know. Doing some stuff that I really don't want to do. Getting out of bed late at night just to sit with somebody. Just to sit with them at the hospital because they're going through some stuff. And because people did it for me. People fed me when I got here. People loved me. Even though that I couldn't, at first, I didn't have enough in me to when they asked me to go to the diner, I would always tell them, nah, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm great. Good. Excellent. Here, my stomach's rumbling. I haven't eaten all day. And I just didn't have enough humility to let you guys help me in that area, you know, because I was an adult at that point. You know, and so God's taken me from the despair and hopelessness and given me a life worth living. And I want to talk about our message. And how much time do I got? 5 minutes? I definitely want to talk about our message. And our message is hope. And our promise is freedom. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. If you don't believe that, if you're in this room with you're full of doubt that this program could possibly ever work for you. This thing has happened in the lives of many addicts that have come from your spot and have found a new way to live. You know, so don't count yourself out. We love you. God loves you. You are a special person. You have a purpose. We have a purpose in here. If nobody told you that they don't love you today, you probably got the wrong people in your life. I got many people on the phone today had told me, Joe, I love you. It's so important that we love each other, not so much worrying about what she's doing and what he's doing and who she's sleeping with and who's he's sleeping with. Just loving each other, letting people be where they're at. Sometimes even minding my own goddamn business. You know what I mean? Like, just shutting my mouth. Because not everything's my business. And so living the program just for today, it's important to talk about our message. It's important to talk about how we can find a new way to live through the steps, through our sponsor, through our home group. All the stuff that you set the tone of this meeting for is so important in here. And we continue to do it. And we continue to show up. If I shared anything that helped anybody, please do not thank Joe M. from the Cape Atlantic area. We opened this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. We invited God in. Me and my sponsor and my friends prayed down the hallway before we started this meeting. We asked that I would decrease, that God would increase, that the addict that was suffering in this meeting that needed to hear what they needed to hear would hear with an open heart and an open mind, and that's all we ask. That's why we travel. That's why we go to places we go, because you addicts did it for me. I'm so grateful. I'm honored and privileged to be asked to come share my experience, strength, and hope. If nobody told you they don't love you today, I love you. Please thank the God of your understanding. Thank you for letting me share.